So are you part of the 30%? That's the estimate for how much of the workforce is freelancers, or what the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, calls contingent workers. And how big a problem for you is bill collection? Sarah Horowitz, founder and executive director of the Freelancers Union, joins me now to talk about their latest effort in New York, the world's longest invoice, totaling almost $16 million, made up of many smaller bits never paid by deadbeat clients. Hey, Sarah Horowitz, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you actually printed out and unfurled this invoice up in Albany. This is all to urge lawmakers to pass a bill called the Freelancer Payment Protection Act. What would it do?
What it would do is freelancers, if they get stiffed, and they get stiffed quite often, they have no place to go other than small claims court. New York would be doing this pioneering thing where you could go to the Department of Labor and file a claim. And we have met with great success. The Speaker Silver has been supporting this. This bill has support from the ideological left to the ideological right. It's pretty fascinating because I think we're starting to say to ourselves, is this fair that people who work don't get paid? It's actually a moral issue. And that's why so many people right away went right online and put in what happened to them and how they got stiffed. And it took off. It was incredibly, it just was like wildfire online.
And we can take some calls on this. If you're a freelancer, is non-payment a problem for you? What strategies have you devised to get the money? I see one person at least is already calling in with advice for dealing with your deadbeat clients. We'll take that call first. And if you're on the client end, have you seen yourself on this list? We've got a link up to this unfurled invoice on our website. Call and explain the non-payment if you want. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Mark in Basking Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
So what happened to you and what'd you do about it?
Well, as I explained to your producer, I've worked in publishing for quite a while with a job, and then over the last couple of years, I've gone into fully freelancing. And I've been lucky in the sense that I've never actually been completely stiffed, although there were a couple of invoices that it took me as long as 18 months to get paid. And I got some good advice from some of my colleagues who've been doing this for a lot longer and thought it might be good to pass that along.
Sarah Horowitz, want to talk to Mark?
Yeah, Mark, you know, one of the things that Mark is raising is not only is it that people don't get paid, it's that they get paid late. We found that the average that people got stiffed was $4,600, and that this happened to 77% of freelancers at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, my numbers were not that high, and they were smaller contracts, actually, that's part of the problem. And eventually I did get paid. It was not so much a non-willingness to pay as it was just a bureaucratic snafus that happened through the organization.
So stay
Mark,
with
could
them.
I ask you,
go
Mark,
ahead,
one
Sarah.
Question is, you know, a lot of times what's happening is particularly the larger media companies make it that if you're freelancing, it's almost like your payment is an invoice and you get paid 30, 60, 90 days out, and it becomes very difficult to get paid on time. And in fact, they charge you 4% of your total salary if you want to be paid within 2 weeks. Did that happen to you, or have you heard of that?
I've not heard of that. I've never actually asked for faster payment. And in the advice that I got was to include on my invoice at the bottom the words net 30 days. And that gives you a leg to stand on. And also to note up front what penalties would be charged for late payment and include that in the communication with the client.
Oh, that's interesting. Put that in the contract. You think that's a good idea, Sarah?
Yeah, well, I think the bottom line is people need to have contracts, and that's one of the most difficult things. So first is get the contract, and second is put in so that you're not one of the people getting paid at 90, but you're getting paid at 30. We actually are seeing that in some of the biggest companies, Time, Inc., Nielsen, Reuters. These are issues that are happening a lot out there to freelancers. And if you are working as a traditional employee, this just isn't happening to you because there are such severe penalties, including potential jail time, that employers just don't do this to traditional employees.
Joel in Bogota, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joel.
Hi, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Sarah, I had a question for you. It's similar to the previous caller's question, wondering about how you can handle getting payment earlier if you would be running the risk of potentially losing a client. And also then, I, with a major network, I'll go either as an LLC and get put on a 90-day cycle, or I can have the option of filling out a time card under my personal name. But even the time card does not guarantee a fast turnaround. And I've heard that in Los Angeles, there is a law that you would need to get paid within 10 days of wrapping a project. Otherwise, you can bill for not paying based on your day rate. Is there any way that we could get that incorporated into a New York tri-state area law?
Well, you know, what you can hear when you talk to freelancers is that it's a little bit of the Wild West. So people try one thing and that might work. They might try another thing, and so there will be many ideas. But what this bill does is it makes it that we actually have a uniform way that if you don't get paid, you can go to the Department of Labor, and then we can start talking about getting paid at 2 weeks is not paid early. It's getting paid at the appropriate time because your monthly bills, your rent, your car payment, your mortgage, all come monthly, and so you need to get paid on a regular basis. You know, I think that's why when we're looking at this Payment Protection Act, we have 7 Republican co-sponsors in the Senate who have come on from the ideological left to the ideological right because, you know, we're all seeing this problem of a declining middle class, and one of the fastest ways to be poor is not to get paid. And that's what we're trying to do in New York, and that's why we're seeing support. One of the major things, if listeners want to do something, is to go to the website right now, and on the homepage we ask you to call the Speaker of the Senate, Speaker Skelos, to move this to a vote. Right now there are 25 co-sponsors. It's very close, and it would be pioneering legislation. It hasn't been done anywhere in the United States, and we'd be able to really start talking about this is the new workforce, and this is how we can start building a more fair economy. It's from these kinds of pieces of legislation.
As to some of the hurdles, somebody is tweeting at us right now. My guess is that the places with, quote, bureaucratic snafus, referencing the previous caller, aren't making those mistakes with their bank creditors. And a caller who we're not going to have time to get to says he's been told the bottom line is my bottom line is my bank can hurt me. My gas and electric company can hurt me. If I don't pay those bills, you can't hurt me. So Rachel in Brooklyn is trying to hurt her deadbeat client in a different kind of way. Right, Rachel?
Yes. I was on the board of the National Writers Union, so Sarah and I have a lot of mutual friends. And I've been working as a production editor, managing editor, copy editor, proofreader in book publishing and magazines for 35 years. And the problem I've had has been mostly with the smallest client. I have a private client whose journal essay I worked on last summer, and the original agreement was for a certain hourly rate. And to copy edit primarily the notes, except the notes, of course, relate to the text. So I got the essay in pieces, and she rewrote, and she didn't give me full information. And when I finally said, okay, are we done? Do you need any more of my service? And she said, nope, I think we're done. I sent her an invoice, and she offered to pay me half of the invoice. And
Rachel, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're running out of time. But bottom line, they're in small claims court. Sarah, would the law that you're supporting make it any easier to do that, or would it be more a different kind of recourse?
It would be different kind of recourse because, yes, you can go to small claims court, but the problem is it's very difficult to collect in a judgment. So you can win the battle and lose the war, but when you go to the Department of Labor, the company is going to have to hire an attorney and deal with it, and so they realize this is much more serious. And I think that's really the point. You know, most companies are not like this. No one can be proud as an employer to not pay people. There's not going to be a chamber of commerce that's going to advocate for that. So we're really talking about a kind of institutional way of dealing with freelancers. And since this is the new workforce, we really have to start thinking about how are we going to make it fair again.
We just have a few seconds left. You know, we have a couple of attorneys calling in, and we don't have time to take their calls on the air, but a few different attorneys calling in saying nobody gets stiffed like lawyers. Are attorneys part of the freelancers union?
Yes. We have all sorts of freelancers across the economic spectrum, and a lot of lawyers and doctors and nannies and security guards. And what you see is that it really is a slice of this economy straight through,
right.
And it's happening to us all. So, again, if people could
go ahead.
If they could go to the website and call Dean Skelos, then they'll get us that much closer.
Sarah Horowitz, Executive Director of the Freelancers Union, on that bill in Albany to protect freelancers from getting stiff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.